Good morning and welcome to the Betfair Quarter One IMS conference call, hosted by CEO David Yu and CFO Stephen Morana. David, over to you.
Great. Thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. As you heard, joining me is Stephen, and we'll both be happy to take your questions. First, just to spend a few minutes to cover the highlights of the quarter and what we're seeing so far in Q2. Overall, I'm pleased with the performance in the quarter in which we're obviously up against a record comparative period. As you recall, Q1 of FY 2011 benefited from a significant World Cup uplift for us. For us, because of our reporting calendar, the World Cup was wholly within that period. It was also the final quarter pre the migration to the on-game poker network for us. As expected, therefore, our total core Betfair revenue was down 7% to £81 million in the quarter. Within that, we saw good performance from the exchange, where revenue was maintained at last year's level despite the World Cup. Naturally, football revenue was down versus last year, but this was offset by strong growth in other sports for us, with a particularly strong performance in tennis, cricket, and golf. In fact, we had our best ever Royal Ascot, Wimbledon, Fortnite, and the Open Golf Championship. Our focus on attracting and retaining higher value customers has resulted in a 17% increase in sports ARPU to £157, while sports actives in the quarter fell by 19% to 381,000. That reflects the focus that we have on higher value customers and also increased customer activity during the World Cup last year. Now just turning to three drivers of exchange performance, which are value, customer loyalty, and monetization. Our unique business model means that we continue to offer customers consistent value, meaning that we remain the best place to bet. Other bookmakers can use marketing tools, marketing budgets to offer good odds on individual events, but we offer consistent value over time. That increases our customers' chance of winning. In fact, in stark contrast to any of our competitors, over 200,000 of our customers were net winners last year. That in turn increases customer loyalty. As we've talked about at the prelim results, activity on our exchange has continued to be strong. In FY 2011, however, we didn't monetize that activity sufficiently, and our revenue grew at a lower rate than growth in activity. As you know, events and results will always cause some variability in the relationship between exchange activity and our revenue, but we identified a need to rebalance this relationship back towards historical levels. At the prelims, we set out two ways of improving monetization. The first, the health of our exchange ecosystem can be improved by helping to increase the win rates of our losing customers, and we think we can do this through more education and also better tools. One such tool that we've rolled out that we know that can help customers is our Cash Out Now function. That tool automates the calculations and the trading required to lock in a profit or loss and has proved very popular. We've seen that over 20% of our football actives used it last month. Cash Out Now is currently available on certain football and tennis markets, and we're going to be rolling it out across further sports in the coming months. Secondly, we talked about targeted pricing changes for less than 500 of our customers who were disproportionately benefiting from the exchange ecosystem. We believe this will improve the balance of the ecosystem and lead to higher revenue growth for us. Since these changes were implemented on the 18th of July, we've closely monitored the situation, and the impact will be assessed over the longer term, but we're pleased with the initial results. In the quarter, overall sports revenue was impacted by lower revenue from our risk products due to adverse sporting results in May, as we talked about at the prelims. Since then, we've seen a return to normal margins. Another real success has been the performance of our mobile products. We've taken a long-term approach to mobile, ensuring that we have a platform from which we can grow, and that strategy is paying off. Our products are offered across a wide range of operating systems and devices, including iPhone, iPad, Android, and BlackBerry. We've also invested in internationalization, with products being available in 17 languages and featured in 13 local Apple iTunes stores globally. That puts us ahead of any of our competitors, and I believe is driving the results we're now seeing. Specifically in the quarter, mobile usage grew strongly, and our customers made over 7 million mobile bets, which is significantly ahead of any of our competitors. Overall, almost a third of our customers made a bet using one of our mobile products. I'm also pleased to report that our technology re-architecture is progressing as planned and is scheduled for completion before the end of the financial year. You'll start to see some changes to the website in the coming weeks and months, and that will mean a faster, more efficient user experience for everyone. Next, let me just make a couple comments on how we strengthen the management team. Ian Shooter has now joined us, and he takes responsibility for our global operations. I can also tell you that we've also made two significant senior hires. Former BWIN Party Marketing Director Matt Robinson has joined us as our Europe and Emerging Markets Director, and Peter Marcus, who is currently Chief Strategy Officer at BetClick and was previously Chief Operating Officer at William Hill Online, will be joining us to head up our UK business. And as you know, all those individuals bring a wealth of industry experience, and I'm sure they'll make a significant contribution to our future success. Turning to regulation, we've continued our efforts to achieve sensible regulatory outcomes in a number of European markets. In Italy, for example, we're working closely with the gaming regulator OMS to be able to operate our exchange on our licensed sort of local Betfair.it site. In the meantime, we continue to take wagers on our Italian sportsbook. And following the introduction of a licensing framework for games and poker in Italy, we agreed with OMS to cease offering these products on the Betfair.com site in the country from July. We'll look to introduce these products to the Betfair.it site in early 2012. In Spain, we look forward to applying for an operating license in the coming months and started to pay gross profits tax from June in anticipation of this. We continue to monitor the ongoing regulatory developments in other countries, particularly Greece and Germany, and we'll take appropriate steps where we believe proposed national regulations are inconsistent with European laws. Now, turning briefly to other investments, Betfair US continues to prepare for exchange licensing in California from May of 2012. TBG again increased its share of the ADW market, delivering handle and revenue growth of 6% against the decline in the overall market. LMAX has continued to gear its product portfolio towards liquid foreign exchange, index, and commodities markets, and has improved its distribution capability by strengthening its sales channel. And in recent weeks, there's been some signs of improved customer traction. Finally, looking at current trading, we've had a good August. We've seen a strong start to the football season, helped by a significant increase in the number of in-play matches we offer, continued mobile growth, benefits from more customer education, including the Cash Out Now feature I talked about, and a positive impact from pricing changes. And as a result, our core revenue in August was up 12%, and while it's certainly early in the financial year, we remain comfortable with the outlook for FY12. So in summary, we're pleased with Betfair's performance in the quarter. The exchange delivered a robust performance against a very strong comparative period. Our mobile offering continues to go from strength to strength, and we've seen early signs that our plan to improve the monetization of the exchange is starting to deliver. So it's a solid start to the year, and we've made good progress against our strategy for FY12, which we believe will cement our position as the leading online sports betting operator. So thank you for listening to that, and now we'll open it up, and Stephen and I are happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will now be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question comes from the line of Paul Lewis of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, it's Vaughan Lewis at Morgan Stanley.
Hi, Vaughan.
Hi. Can you give us any sort of view on the EBITDA margin in the quarter? I guess you've got the cost savings from not paying GPT anymore, so has there been a bit of a boost, even though the revenues are a bit lower? The second one, you said the sort of IT restructuring project is on track. Is it still on budget as well? And when should we expect the launch of the integrated sportsbook site? And then finally, on the new prices and the increase in the premium charge, can you give any sort of indication about how many customers you lost as a result of that and whether that's impacted liquidity? Or put another way, what are the sort of overall volumes like on the exchange in August? Thanks.
Okay, Vaughan, I'll kick off with them. It's Stephen here. From an EBITDA perspective, we obviously don't give on a quarterly basis. I think all we really say is that we're comfortable with the full-year results and everything's on track at the moment. From a re-architecture perspective, again, I think as David said in the statement, that we are on track, that the architecture programs plan to end at the end of sort of April 2012. We're on track to deliver that, and we're on budget to deliver it again. So just confirming what we've always said there, you know, tech spend will peak this year, and then we'll begin to drop over the forthcoming years. That's from a CapEx, an OpEx, a capitalized development perspective as well. And finally, from a premium charge, you know, this, as David said, this targeted less than 500 customers. These were non-profitable customers for us. These were customers who were not profitable the way that they betted for us. And as you'd expect, a small number of customers have changed the behaviour. But this had all been modelled in, and again, at the moment, it's running exactly as we'd have expected it to be.
Yeah. And I would just add, Vaughn, you asked about the sports book of when that will come out. As we said, it'll be towards, you know, the back end of this financial year. And, you know, we're excited by that because it gives us, you know, it extends the portfolio so that really we can give customers the being the one-stop shop. There should be no reason a customer would go anywhere else. We'll have our unique exchange as well as a broad range of other sports betting products. And also, of course, as you know, give us flexibility to enter into other regulated markets. So we're looking forward to getting that out. And it's really because of the platform re-architecture that we've done, it really enables that as well as some of the other improvements that you'll start to see in the coming weeks and months.
Can I just check on the current trading one, the volume growth in August, is that still sort of moving along, or is most of the revenue growth from pricing and other movements?
No, it's definitely from volume growth as well. You know, as David said, the business is pretty vibrant at the moment. We've seen record sort of record days, record weeks, record activity on the site through both before the premium charge came in and after.
And one final one, just to check that the comment you said, the total IT cost should start to fall. Is that in absolute terms or is that relative to revenues?
Yes, it's in absolute terms as well.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of James Hollins of Evolution. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Oh yeah, good morning. There's a few from me. Just first on Italy, I just wanted to check where we are. If I get it right, the .it site is offering fixed odds with casino and poker from Q1 next year, and the .com is still offering the exchange but no longer offers casino and poker. Just give you a bit more clarity. The second, on Spain, what license are you applying for? I assume that's just for fixed odds. Third, you talk about the fixed odds margin in the core is now normalised. What is a normalised margin for you on that? And the final one, can you quantify what the World Cup revenue was for Q1 last year so we can get a relative comp? Thanks.
Yeah. James, thanks for the questions. I'll start, this is David, I'll start off on some of the regulation and Stephen can talk about some of the margins. You know, in terms of Italy, you're correct. On the .it site, we offer a fixed odds sportsbook product. And what we'll be doing is over time, you know, come next year, we'll be offering poker and casino products on those as well. On the .com site, we offer the exchange, and we're waiting for exchange licensing to be defined, so that way we can offer exchanges on the .it site. So you're absolutely correct in your understanding of Italy. And in Spain, in terms of the licenses, what we'll be applying for is a sportsbook license, a license to operate a sportsbook once the framework and the details, you know, are sort of known. And then what we'll be doing is obviously applying for an exchange license once that becomes available, and we would expect that to follow shortly after, you know, the sportsbook. So we'll be applying for sportsbook and then exchanges in Spain.
In terms of fixed odds margin, James, I think we're running, historically we've been around getting close to 10, say 8 to 9 as a normalised one. I think over time that will probably slowly decline as we take more in-play fixed odds bets as well, as the competition are seeing. And from a World Cup perspective, probably World Cup revenue was 9 to 10 million. But I think being realistic, obviously that there's cannibalisation that happens last year as well. So I don't think that you know, that there's some benefit that you receive this year without the World Cup going on.
Okay, great. And just on Italy, is Q1 2012 for casino and poker likely, or is it just unknown?
I mean, I think it'll be sometime early next year that we'll be working on it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Isabel Green of UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning. I have two questions, please. Firstly, on the 12% growth you've seen in August, are you able to give us any colour on the relative strength of the different areas within that? And secondly, on in-play betting, are you happy to give us a percentage of how much in-play contributes to revenue at present?
Yeah, hi, Isabel. Stephen. 12% growth in August, predominantly sport. As David talked about, the main reasons for the growth were the positive that we continue to see with mobile, with the increase in in-play football matches, with the start of the football season, and with our Cash Out Now feature that's performing very popular as well. So all of them are mainly geared around sport. I think poker, we now get into a period of easier comps. Obviously, we cut across in July last year, and we knew that we suffered some issues. So our poker numbers will be that much easier going forward. But the vast majority of growth is driven by sport. And in terms of in-play betting, again, for us, I just think we're a different model than the bookmakers. The amount of in-play bet is really a reflection of the type of event you're looking at. You know, if a cricket game can have over 90% of bets matched in play, a horse race will be about 30%. We're obviously the only operator that allows in-play horse racing betting at the moment. So we don't split our revenues that way because it really just depends on the type of event. But I think it ranges sort of 30 to 70% in terms of on average of amount of bets that will be placed in play.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Gavin Kelleher of Goodbody Stockbrokers. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi guys, just back to the current trading. I'm just trying to get a bit of a feel for how much impact the premium charge is having. Is there any way you can maybe quantify, let's say if sports is up 12% or maybe slightly above in August, how much was due to the premium charge? And then, given what you've seen so far with the premium charge, how do you expect at this stage that to play out for the full year, if you can give any colour on it?
Yeah, we don't break it out. I mean, we think it's really part just of our sports revenues. But it definitely will add a couple of percentage points to overall growth during the year if it delivers the targets that we're hoping. Obviously, it's only about 6 weeks old at the moment. We continue to track and monitor, but we're just pleased with the early signs that we're seeing.
Okay, and just in terms of obviously volume growth, you've noted that in August. Just the better education of customers, how far through that process are we? Presuming we're only at the start of the benefits of that, and how long do you think that takes to get to the optimal level?
Yeah, I think we continue to educate our customers, both in terms of the content that we roll out, and that started years ago with our acquisition of Timeform, which provides exclusive racing content to other form of statistics. Recently, you may have seen that we've kicked off an ambassadors campaign where we've got great sports figures. Paul Nichols started it. We've got Michael Vaughn, Lee Dixon, and others that are out, really providing really exclusive, interesting insights, form, and commentary to our customers. So that's one form of education. And then, as I mentioned, tools such as Cash Out Now, where we had over 20% of our football actives using it last month. Cash Out really takes a lot of the math away from it, so it's very easy for customers to lock in a position. All those things are helping, and we've got other features and more content that we'll be rolling out over time. So everything that we can do to help educate, our customers and increasing the win rates of our losing customers improves the amount of money that's recycled through the exchange ecosystem, and that obviously helps our customers and it also helps us.
It also just increases stickability on the site. The more people that can use a function that the competition don't have, the more likely they are to stay with us long term. So you say, what's our goal? We'd love every customer to be trading a position on the site, every customer to be using the Cash Out Now function.
Okay, maybe just one follow-on, one other question on LMAX. Has the increased activity as of late, how has that changed your view on the full-year outlook at LMAX?
Look, what we really wanted to flag is that we know a number of people look at the Reuters statistics that are out there, and definitely there's been a jump in activity on LMAX over the last few weeks on the FX markets. But we just want to flag, this is early signs. We think the team are doing a fantastic job over there, repositioning around FX. We still think there's a really, really exciting product underneath LMAX, but it's far too early to say whether those green shoots are going to be long-term. We remain cautiously optimistic about it.
Okay, thanks a million, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Gitanjali Sharma of Espirito Santo. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. Two questions. Firstly, if I could follow up on the question on Spain. Operationally, what does this new license application mean for the exchange business out there? Are you going to be closing your exchange for the interim, operating the sports book, and then reopening the exchange when the license comes through? If you could provide any flavor, that'd be absolutely great. And secondly, David, I was just wondering, given it's been some time, in terms of some flavor on, you know, your search for a suitable successor, how are you taking that? What do you think the timeline on that is? And, you know, what kind of candidates are you looking at?
Sure. So, first, in terms of Spain, you know, I think that it's really too early to say. You know, what we're pleased about is that, you know, there's a wide range of gaming products, including exchanges, that are covered in the primary legislation. And as you know, the regulators are now working on the licensing framework. So I think it's too early to say exactly how it's going to work out. What we'll do is we'll continue to monitor and then obviously apply for licenses within whatever framework they do come up with. But I think it's, you know, it's important to remember that, you know, it's early days. So, you know, we'll continue to maintain our discussions with the regulators, which, you know, which are ongoing. In terms of the CEO search, you know, really that, you know, our board is leading that, and, you know, we don't have anything to announce today, and I'm sure the board will obviously update everyone when they have something to report.
Okay. If I could just follow up on Spain, as per your assessment, what do you think is the time frame for some regulation to kick in there?
Well, you know, we've heard that, you know, there are going to be licenses towards the end of this year. You know, there'll be some products that will be licensed. There will be other products that come in subsequent, I don't know, licensing phases. And really it's up to the regulator to work through it.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Just to remind all participants that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your keypads now. Or press 02 to cancel. And our next question comes from the line of Simon French of Panmure Gordon. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, morning, guys. Just two questions from me, please. Firstly, can you just quantify what the financial impact is of turning off poker and games in Italy and also accruing for GBT in Spain? And then on poker, any plans for what happens when OnGame is sold by Bwin Party?
Yeah, so poker and casino in Italy equated to between 1% and 2% of our overall core revenues. And as we said, we believe they'll be turned off for, let's say, 6 to 9 months. From a Spanish GPT perspective, the financial impact this year will be around £3 million sterling.
Okay.
But I think, as we said in the note, that we're comfortable that, you know, taking both of those on board, looking at where the business is trading at the moment, we're still comfortable with current consensus.
Okay, so without those, you'd be expecting sort of consensus to be ahead of where it is at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Okay. And on game?
Yeah, and on game, obviously, you know, we're monitoring the situation. Obviously, you know, we're very interested in the outcome of that and wanting to ensure that it goes to, you know, a supportive new buyer. You know, we've been very pleased with OnGame as a platform. We think it offers our customers, you know, a very good poker product. So we've been very pleased with it, and we'll continue to monitor that situation and see what develops.
Okay. Is it something you'd be interested in buying yourselves?
As you can imagine, we'd never comment on anything like that.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you do have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And we have a question now from the line of Ed Birking of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. Just a quick one following up on Simon's question about OnGame. Were it to go to a buyer who either you didn't agree with over things, or if they wanted to pull out of the European market and you had to leave the network, how easy would it be to pull out and dust off your proprietary poker platform and relaunch on there?
I mean, obviously we're a big part of OnGame's liquidity, so I think for any acquirer who comes in, you know, I think we're an important part of the discussions and the negotiations. I think that's always an option. We have that poker software, but I think we really just got to wait and see what happens, and I don't think you can really speculate at the moment.
But is it something which is while it's kind of being put in the bottom drawer and you're not using it, something that's being dated, or is it something that you believe you could quite easily, were it to come to it, pull out again and be up and running in a very short period of time?
I think you've always got it. I think we know how to run a poker business. You know, we've ran one. We actually ran it quite successfully. The big challenge was obviously liquidity, which is why we moved on to a network. There's obviously other networks available as well. But I think for now it's really a watching brief and being as close to the process as we can be, because we're an important part of it.
Okay, thanks. And just the final one on the TVG business in California. Are there any details about the number of operators for the exchange in that's meant to be coming in May 2012?
With respect to California, no, I think as far as I know, you know, it's open to anyone who wants to apply. Obviously, with our exchange platform expertise as well as TVG, we think we'd be in a great position to be a great exchange operator there in California.
So there could be more than one operator if there were multiple applications.
That's right. There could be multiple applications, you know, in California.
And you know, in New Jersey?
You know, in California, you know, the regulations are still being, you know, worked out, and they're just being set now. In New Jersey, there is sort of one operator that will be licensed. But I think, as we've talked about before, the timing of that is less clear because the governor is making some changes to horse racing. So there are some deals that have to get completed in terms of what's happening with the existing tracks. Those deals will be completed first, and then the exchange wagering will come after that.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ed.
Our next question comes from the line of Richard Stuber of JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. Just really sort of a comment I've seen on Bloomberg, Stephen, saying that you said fixed odds bets could rise to 20-30% from 7% of revenues. Could you just confirm this and also give an indication of how quickly that percentage can ramp up from where it is now? And so in other words, will it be sort of 20-30% in sort of 2 years' time or 5 years' time? Thank you.
Thanks for playing that one back to me. I'm probably getting some evil looks around the table here. What I actually said was that, in a way, we don't really care. If we think of how our model works, we have this exchange which we believe is unique and is fundamental to the business. Over 90% of our customers at the moment play on the exchange, and then you cross-sell them into other products. And where we see the exchange and the integrated sportsbook working perfectly alongside each other is the sportsbook can fill the holes where the exchange just doesn't quite work as well. Two specific examples: early prices on horse racing, or, you know, the breadth of in-play markets across a wide variety of sports. So if you have that combined with the exchange, we don't really care where the revenue comes from, as long as a significant proportion of our customers continue to use the exchange. So he asked me a leading question, and I just said it could be anything. But I think what's important to us is the significant amount of people who continue to use the exchange. And then the revenue where we can manage to cross-sell them is just something that is additive, really.
I see. Okay, so like the 30% of your revenues from fixed odds is probably very unlikely.
well, I think 80% of our revenue this year came from the exchange in the Q1. So right. The exchange remains fundamentally important to us.
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Isa Jones of Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Isa Jones from Numis, your line is now open. You may ask your question.
Morning, thank you. Could you talk about what the comparable period is like for the rest of the year, and how that plays out against particularly the delivery of new products from the technology program towards the back end of the year? And then, when you say that you aren't offering poker and casino to Italy from the .com site, that means for people registered in Italy? Or for how do you prevent an Italian from going to the .com site and using those products? What does it mean?
I'll take the second one first. Yeah, on the Italian, we've removed poker and casino for Italian residents who are trying to play on those products. So what we'll do is we'll be adding those to the .it site that we do market to Italian residents. So that's what we've done with that.
And I think from a comp period, ask Ivor, I'd say that I think Q2 is a not to, thinking about sports first of all. I don't think Q2 is an ultra aggressive comp. I think Q3 is quite easy because of weather. Certainly at the start of Q3, if you remember last year, we had abominable weather in December. I think Q4 will be the toughest of the four comps. But I think from a positive side, you know, Q4 is when we're looking to be introducing more and more new products for the customer as we finish the back end part of the re-architecture work and we really start to see the benefits on the customer side. I think from a poker angle, I think all of the comps going forward are now obviously easier because we've been suffering from the last 12 months with going pre-cut over to on-game.
That's great. Thank you.
Once again, if you do have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Okay, as there are no further questions, I will hand the conference back to David Yu.
Great. Well, thank you all very much for listening in this morning, and thanks for your questions. I mean, as I said at the start, you know, I think from our perspective, you know, we're pleased with the quarter and how Q2's gotten off. You know, we had a tough comp with a record quarter last year, but you know, we were pleased with the exchange, especially, you know, seeing that be really level year on year, you know, despite the World Cup. And we've seen a good start to Q2, given the football season, the strength there with sports, given in-play matches that we've added, new products, mobile continuing to do very well, Cash Out Now really getting traction, and obviously the other educational programs that we've talked about working well. So obviously it's early in the year, but we're comfortable with this year, and we look forward to the remaining quarters. And obviously if you have any follow-on questions, then you can get in touch with us, and Paul and others will be happy to take you through anything else. Thank you all very much.
This now concludes our call. Thank you for attending. Participants, you may disconnect your lines.